Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience, and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
And welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. As always, to our Inspired listeners, thank you so much for being with us today. We have a great show ahead of us and a topic that so many of us on the quote-unquote spiritual path can relate to and have gone through. The topic of today's show, spiritual and broke. Oh my goodness. But it's not going to be doom and gloom, because I have a feeling our guest today is going to show us a different way of thinking about things that will help support us on our path. So it's a struggle that many folks, you know, in the spiritual community have gone through, you know, where we're feeling called to assist humanity, to be in service to humanity, and that's which speaks to our heart, but then we struggle with the question many times of how am I going to be able to support myself, and, you know, how am I going to lead this consistent paycheck that I have now that offers a lot of comfort and support to step into something that I don't know about. So today we're gonna hear a pretty interesting story of our guest's background and how she was able to get herself out of over $100,000. Of debt while doing what she's meant to do. Now, doesn't that sound inspiring? That's what we're here to do every week. But first, I'm Kim Falcon. If you'd like to connect with me, you can do so at lovefirst.info. And certainly, if there's anything I can do to support you on your path in the way of readings, healings, or hypnosis, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can connect with me on social media, and you can join me every Friday on Facebook Live at 12 Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific for conscious conversation, Q&A, and guidance readings. Usually this week, I am with my partner in crime, Mark Lanehart, but he's off having fun in Las Vegas without us. So we hope he's having a great time. Can't wait to have him back. But certainly, if you are interested and learning more about Mark, the Intuitive Prospector's work, you can do so at marklanehart.com. And you can also catch him on social media, Facebook Live, too, with his metaphysical Mocha Mondays as well. So we got you covered all through the week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So hope that you found that to be supportive for you. You can also call us live at 202-570-7057. If you've got questions for our guest today, if you're spiritual and you're broke, you have questions about that, call us up, because we have a guest that holds a lot of wisdom in this area from personal experience, and she's going to share that with us today. So really excited about that. Or you can send through your questions on Facebook, on our Facebook page, which is Inspired Living Radio, which I'll be checking throughout the show. So there's, you know, many ways to take advantage of today's topic and our guests who can maybe perhaps walk you through your own experience. If you'd like to connect with us on social media or interact with us, you can find us, again, on Facebook under Inspired Living Radio, Twitter, and Instagram under Inspired for Us. And you can learn about our upcoming shows. You can send through your questions or comments. We always love hearing from our inspired listeners. You can also listen to all of our archives on Ohm Times Radio, Podbean, SoundCloud, marklanehart.com, YouTube, iTunes, and lovefirst.info. So, without further delay, the topic today is, of course, spiritual and broke. And our guest, Jennifer Noel Taylor, you'll have to help me with that one. She is an energy healing practitioner, a self-help motivator, and the CEO of Quantum Touch, Inc. She has dedicated her life work to helping people discover the healing power of their love. Boy, I tell you what, there's nothing more powerful than love. And she graduated from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo with a background in computer science and philosophy. And after graduation, she started her first job as a software engineer. Boy, that's a big difference from what she's doing today, as many of us have experienced in our own lives. We make these big leaps from what we, you know, we thought we were supposed to be doing into what it is we're feeling called to do, what's speaking to us from our heart. So she felt, and she'll talk to us about this, but just a part of her bio, she felt trapped and depressed at a job that paid the bills, but didn't align with her true passion. So she knew that she had a purpose and felt aware that she was not following her true calling in life. This is a path that so many of us have been on, we've experienced, and it's all about moving to the next step, right, so that we can live out our life's purpose and also feel fully supported as we do that. So, Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us today. I have a feeling people are going to be all ears today. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This is such a great topic because I know a lot of people who have been struggling with money. So I think this topic is really, really interesting.
Well, yeah, and, you know, just understanding your background, I mean, a software engineer to energy healing, you know, that's like on opposite ends of the spectrum, right? And
so many of us,
we come from these very different backgrounds, but you were being pulled in a completely new direction, and it kind of, you know, shakes up our world a little bit because we're like, whoa, what does this mean for us? What are we supposed to do? Is this, you know, how am I going to make this work? So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. So, yeah, so I graduated with a computer science degree from Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, California. And I started my first job writing software for a large company in San Diego, and I quickly discovered how much I hated my job because I chose a career that I thought I was supposed to do. It was a nice, reliable career, but honestly, my heart wasn't into it at all, and I just felt like I was going through the motions at work and feeling more and more depressed. You know, I go to work and hate Mondays and couldn't wait for weekends, and basically, I was just showing up at my cubicle to collect a paycheck. And I'm sure many people know that can get really depressing over time because you feel, you know, I felt really lost. Like, you know, why am I here? What am I doing? What's my purpose? You know, do I need to just work in a cubicle for the next 40 years? Mm. Right.
Oh, you know, goodness. So, that sounds hard to even hear. It feels stifling.
Oh, I don't know if you've ever been in a cubicle all day, but oh my gosh, it just, you know, it's how a lot of people work. You know, you go to this office, it's air conditioned down to 50 degrees and it's freezing cold and you know, you're just doing work that you're not into and wondering, you know, what's the purpose of all this and barely making ends meet and hoping that maybe someday you can retire, but not sure how. I think a lot of people are in that conundrum, right?
Mm. Yes, especially when you say, and you're starting to contemplate, how am I supposed to do this for the next 40 years? How long did you stay in that position for? Or in the corporate world, I should ask.
In the corporate world, I stayed there for about 6 years. And during that time, I hated being there. And I just had to make a caveat here. If any of my former bosses are listening, it's really nothing to do with you guys. It was mostly the fact that just the line of work. And what happened was I was going to massage school at night because I was really fascinated by human touch and body work. And I started studying that. And from there, I got really interested in energy healing. And that was about 18 years ago where I got interested in energy healing. And then the universe spoke to me. I just got this intuitive message that energy healing was, you know, my life work. And from there, things started to shift. But I can tell you this, I think when people get their life work downloaded to them from the universe, it's sometimes hard to believe. I question the universe's sanity because at that time, 18 years ago, energy work was this really, really fringe hippie thing that nobody really did. And I told the universe, that doesn't pay any money. There, you know, I'm going to be living on the street if I do energy healing for a living. You know, you're pretty much crazy, universe. I'll just go back to my desk job. So I'm sure maybe we've all been through that.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I just want to share this with the listeners, too. And this is going to fit in right to our topic. But I remember, you know, as a part of my path, I took a real interest in psychic readings. And I used to, I had these psychics that I was going to that really helped me understand, you know, the greater depths of life and stuff. And so, you know, that was a part of my journey. And then I remember when I was feeling like I was being called to step into this role, I was like, I don't want to, how am I going to be a psychic? All the ones that I know are broke. Like the ones that I would go to and the ones that I knew, they weren't able to, you know, they weren't living comfortably like I was used to living, you know. I mean, it's not like I was a multimillionaire, but I was living comfortably, you know, and they weren't, you know, they were all like living paycheck to paycheck or having other family members support them. And I kept thinking, I don't want to be like that. I can't live like that. So anyway, go on. Just, I had the same conversation with my universe. Right? How is this all supposed to work?
Oh, totally. You know, and the thing is that that's exactly what happened. I went to energy healing. I followed my heart and said, I'm quitting my corporate job. I'm going to energy healing. So many people, you know, it's just, I couldn't make it work, money wise. And someone's worst nightmare, right? You go into this, you follow your heart and the money doesn't come. So
yeah,
that's what happened. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I had to go from there of how do I combine the two? How do I combine like traditional world finance knowledge and wisdom with, you know, this career that's out in the energetic light work arena? And how do we integrate, you know, these careers in like psychic mediumship or energy healing or body work or shamanic journey? And how do you integrate that with the real world of mortgages and taxes?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So how did you so then the $135,000 worth of debt crept in? Is that the period that you were talking about there?
Yeah, what happened is I started running this company called Quantum Touch, which is what I do now. And there's like a kind of a series of synchronicities how I got into that. I started running it, and this company was always broke. We were always on the verge of having no money, and so I took out a business line of credit for $100,000, and it wasn't to grow the business. It was just to make payroll and buy office supplies. So I didn't do that wisely, but I was just desperate, so I took out a $100,000 line of credit. Personally, I had $35,000 of unsecured credit card debt. My card was always teetering on the edge of its balance, right? So I had a $35,000 limit, and I was always on that limit, and it seemed impossible because the interest alone $700 a month. So it just seemed like hopeless, but that's where I started.
My goodness. Okay. So I'd love to learn a little bit more about Quantum Touch too, but talk to us about, you know, how did you make that transition, or what's important for, you talk about the most common block to abundance from your perspective, but, you know, what is that? And then how did you start to create change for yourself?
So this is what I did, and this is what I realized. I went for a lot of years spinning in circles, feeling hopeless and depressed, and I was angry at the universe. I was saying, God, you know, come on, you're supposed to supply me money if I'm doing your work. You know, that was kind of my line there. And so I was waiting for the universe to give me money, which I think a lot of us have done. You know, where's the money? I'm following my heart. You know, why isn't this working? And so I realized I had a big wake-up call, which I describe in my book, that made me realize myself like a victim. I was believing that I was a victim of the universe. I was in like a martyr consciousness with my business. I felt like a martyr for my cause. And this victim script of waiting for God or feeling like a victim to the IRS or, you know, Trump or whatever it is, and feeling helpless and entrenched in that victim martyrhood, was the thing I was doing wrong. It was the antithesis of abundance, because whenever we're feeling like a victim, we can't attract abundance. It's energetically incompatible. And once I realized that, and it was this huge wake up call that helped me realize that, once I fully realized that, yes, I really do generate my reality, all of it. I don't have to wait for God to fix it, or my friend to fix it, or the economy to get better, or, you know, my spouse to fix it. Like, I need to become empowered and turn it around. And so that's reclaiming my power around it. Getting over that victim consciousness was the first step.
Mm-hmm. And how did you get that message? Like, what was the aha moment for you? Oh, wouldn't you know, right as we get into we are heading into our first break. We'll be back in 2 minutes, so stay with us. This is getting good as we continue with our guest today, Jennifer Taylor, and we're talking about being spiritual and broke. Be back in two.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information.
Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
And welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim and our guest today, Jennifer Taylor, as we talk about being spiritual and broke. So before we went into break, Jennifer, you were talking about the very important topic of victim consciousness. And victim consciousness can be in places within us we're not even aware of. We're not even aware that that's how we've been seeing ourselves. So how did you come into that awareness?
That's a great question. So, when I was broke, I was operating as a victim. And like you said, I wasn't even aware of how deeply this victim mentality had permeated my consciousness. It was kind of like a background mm-hmm. script that was running. And just to reiterate, whenever we're identifying in the victim role, on any level in our life, we can't attract what we want. So, for example, if you're feeling like a victim, financially, or a martyr for your cause financially, that energy is the antithesis of abundance. It's energetically incompatible. So here's what happened to me, and it's kind of an intense thing, but it was a huge wake up call. It actually happened in the back of a police car. And what had happened is, it was super like crazy. But what happened was, so a man broke into my house at night. It turned into a robbery and a sexual assault. And, so of course, like mm-hmm. I called 911 and they had to investigate the crime. And part of that was, you know, they had to give me a ride to the rape trauma center. Clearly I was like desperately in shock and just kind of, you know, discombobulated and completely, like, my world was ripped apart. And so I was sitting there in this state in the back of a police car, just like not really paying attention, not even knowing how I got there really. And, all of a sudden the universe said, okay, now pay attention. So I was sitting back there and I perked up, my ears perked up. One of the officers over the radio said, we're now transporting the victim to the RTC, which is the Rape Trauma Center. And like at that moment, I wanted to scream because my vision of myself was a spiritual leader, entrepreneur. Like I was teaching empowerment. I was teaching we create our reality. I was teaching like I was teaching the law of attraction, right? That we create our reality. I was teaching all this stuff. And yet at the same time, that word victim really struck me because I realized, wow, I'm teaching all this, but a lot of my life and my thoughts are in the victim-y state. Like I think like a victim a lot of the time, even though I'm teaching empowerment. And so at that moment, I realized, wow, like I really am acting like a victim in my life. And so I decided, you know what, that's the end of the victim thing. At this moment, I'm calling it done. Like I'm no longer going to be a victim ever again through my life.
Gosh.
I'm
gonna,
yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, that's really amazing. First, I'm sorry that you had to go through that experience, but isn't it, I mean, it's really amazing how did we come into our own awareness through the experiences that we go through, and how it is you came through to that awareness. That's phenomenal.
It, you know, and I think this is where sometimes can happen is. So, you know, a lot of us teach the law of attraction that we create our reality based on what we're projecting into the universe. It's it's a perceived law in the spiritual communities. I think the hard part of that for a lot of people, including me, is wondering, does the law of attraction really apply to every single situation? Mm-hmm. It's a conundrum. It's a struggle for a lot of us. Before that event, I struggled with it because I thought, well, you know, I believe in the law of attraction when things are going well, but I don't necessarily believe the law of attraction actually applies to my money. That's kind of that little thing I'll just push aside under the rug because, you know, I don't really create my financial problems, you know, or I don't really create my problems with men, but I'll take responsibility for the cool stuff. And I certainly didn't want to believe I created that horrific nightmare of sexual assault. I mean, so I kind of struggled with the law of attraction for a long time because I didn't want to really believe it's really universally true in our lives. And that was part of my unwillingness to take responsibility was action.
Right. I'm sorry. You're breaking up just a little bit. But I mean, of all times to, you know, not see yourself as a victim in the back of the police car after what had just had happened, that's pretty powerful, you know. You heard, it's amazing, like, the vibration of words. And so when that police officer said that over the speaker or whatever, you heard that, the vibration of the word victim, like, activated that knowingness in you, right? That's really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, hearing somebody outside refer to me as a victim and how much it contradicted who I thought I was, it was just a big wake up. Like, wow, we can't do this victim thing anymore. And once you're willing to go that deep into it and say, all right, I'm done with victim consciousness. I'm done with scarcity. Like, I'm done with all this stuff. That's when things start to change.
Okay. So could that be an affirmation? I'm done. When you say that out loud, I am done.
Done. And you know, I'm empowered around my money. I created my debt. I had to take ownership of the fact that, yeah, I created all this debt. I wasn't a victim of the IRS or God or whatever it is I was trying to blame it on. I actually generated that debt all by myself. And that's good news and bad news. You know, the good news is that you're powerful enough to create that much debt. Good for you. That's awesome. You're also, if you're powerful enough to create it, you're powerful enough to create something different. So that's kind of what I want to was like, I created this. Good for me.
Wow. And you see, even that's a different perspective, right? I mean, people are not thinking, oh, isn't that wonderful? I'm powerful enough to create this debt. They're not thinking like that. That's not how our, you know, the human side of us thinks. We think we go into the conscious, you know, the victimhood of it all. So thank you for helping us to turn our thinking around with that. So when you talk about there are tips to get out of debt and building savings while following your life purpose, what might some of those tips be for us? Because, you know, there's all kinds of commercials out there now that I think about it. Do you want to, you know, earn a great living while you're living your purpose? Of course, who doesn't? So
right.
Share with us, right? Share with us. If this isn't some kind of feel-good thing. This is something you experienced, and there's ways to do it. So share with us some of these tips that we can do to build our savings and all of that, getting ourselves out of debt, if there may be debt there, or just feeling like we're fully supported financially while we're doing what it is we love. What are some of those tips?
So here's some of the tips. So the first is the ownership, because if you first own it at a very deep level, that you can change it. That's number one. Once you own it, then what I found is really helpful is to set the goal. You would believe how many people set the goal of just getting by. So instead of saying, I'm just going to get by, or I'm just going to make enough set the goal to make more, to earn more money than you spend. And that just, that setting that kind of goal, really shifted my energy and my thought process, because I had, you know, believe it or not, I had never thought about making more money than I spend. But that's what you need to do to get out of debt and save money. And it's amazing how many people I talk to where their goal is just to get by. And you can't get ahead doing that. So that's number two, is right. Really understand that the goal, you set your goal. Number two.
I love
the next step. Yeah. And it sounds so simple, but I had never done that before. The next step is to recognize that your money has the potential to make money for you. And that's another thing that I really never got into, was thinking of the idea, you know, wealthy people are wealthy because their money makes them money, not their time. So entertaining perhaps the idea that at some point your money can start making money for you. And that was a stretch for me, because I had never really done that before. I never really thought, wow, wouldn't that be nice if I had enough money where it actually made some money? And that was a stretch.
And when you talk about your money making money for you, mean
your,
like,
thought process around money.
I'm sorry, you broke up just a little bit. But, like, so when you talk about money can make money for you, are you talking about with it other investments, or are you thinking about that?
Yeah, the idea that if you put your money into real estate or investments or even a savings account, and you won't believe how many spiritual people I talk to who don't think this way, you know, and I'm not sure what that's about, but the idea of investing money to have it make money was really foreign to me. And it may be due, I'm kind of jumping topics here, but I believe that part of it is linked to this idea of worthiness, which is a whole nother can of worms, but it's feeling that you're worthy of operating your life at a profit, that what you're putting your life energy into, what you're putting money into, you're worthy of. And that was a concept that was different for me too, because I felt unworthy of having a return into what I put energy into.
Now, how did you know you were feeling unworthy of operating at a profit?
I feel like that the majority of people who are struggling struggle with unworthiness, as far as they don't believe they deserve money. Like, there's a common belief in the spiritual communities that if you're trying to help others, if you're intending to serve and share your gifts on a spiritual level, you also need to take a vow of poverty. It's somehow like there's this energy that's intertwined. We don't deserve money, like, because spiritual service should be free.
Right. And there's also people out there that feel that too, that are seeking this service. But I'd imagine that you'd be attracting those people if that was what your consciousness was too. But anyways, yeah, that's very, yeah, I see exactly what it is you're saying.
I mean, and sometimes I still struggle with worthiness. I'm not saying I'm a perfect by any stretch of the imagination, you know. I think it's a thing that I've been dealing with a long time. It's like feeling like almost guilty that my money's making money now, or feeling guilty that I want to buy a house, you know, feeling like, you know, like, oh, I don't really deserve a nice pair of shoes. You know, there's all this little bit of hesitancy sometimes, and I still process that, but I see that a lot where people are saying, or you get guilt tripped by your customers saying, well, if you're really doing God's work or work of spirit, it should be free, you know, and that gets permeated into our community. And so there's a lot of aspects where so many people in this community feel like they should give it away, or they should undercharge, or that nobody's going to pay that money for that. Or, like, I don't deserve a house, or I don't deserve $1 million, or that's greedy. All those stories, you know, get in the way. So that's a whole other can of worms.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think you're just breaking up again. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
this is such a weird connection. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. So
that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So money can make money for you. All right. Perfect. Yes.
Money can make money for you, and you're worthy of it.
And you're worthy of it. Awesome. Yes. All
yes,
really
and
great
and
reminders.
Yeah, and you're in charge. You know, it's not, you don't have to wait around for God to do something, right? You don't have to wait for the IRS to get it back together. Like, you can turn it around now. Because so many people, I think, in these communities make the mistake of saying, well, I'm going to wait for the flow of spirit to take action, or I'm going to wait for the flow, or I'm just going to set the intent and sit on my couch. And, you know, just wait for the law of attraction to take effect, right? And, but you actually can take action now. And it's amazing how much action you can take on this, you know, and it can be baby steps every day. Like, for example, I did one of the most intimidating things ever and opened an E-Trade account, which to me is super intimidating because it deals with both having money make money and investing. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I thought I'll just open the account today. And so it's just taking little steps here and there to just change, you know, how you're working with your own money.
Mhm. I love it. Yeah. Baby step. You have to just take one step at a time, you know, like, the human side of us wants it all up front. We want the answers, everything. Show us every step.
Mm-hmm. Every
I want every step.
Step
up front.
I know.
We're heading into our second break. Stay with us. We'll be back in 2 minutes as we continue our conversation of being spiritual and broke, most importantly, how to get out of it.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim and our guest, Jennifer Taylor, as we're talking about her upcoming book, Spiritual and Broke. So, Jennifer, you were talking about the law of attraction and why, there are people that struggle with that because they're not taking responsibility for all that they attracted, that they've attracted. And you talk about also struggle with affirmations that don't come true. So, talk to us a little bit about that, because there are a lot of people out there that do affirmations and they say these affirmations to themselves over and over again. So where does the struggle come in with that, and why is it that what it is they're seeking may not come through to fruition?
Yeah, I think I hear frustration from a lot of people who you sit there and you say, you know, I like $1 million in my account in next week, or, you know, you affirm like, okay, now I'm thinking abundant thoughts. I'm doing everything right. I'm connecting with this idea of owning a new car or a new house, right? And then a year later, nothing's changed. And I was feeling frustrated because I was doing that. I was doing the affirmations and, you know, thinking I was doing the right thing, and yet nothing, you know, changed. And why? And I realized that affirmations aren't enough. They're really cool and it's really nice, but you have to dig deeper than that and understand your energy that you're projecting and why your energy isn't attracting abundance, which is a little bit harder to understand, but but it takes like a deeper cut than just affirmations. And so, you know, one of the things that I see and that I get frustrated by is this idea that you can sit on your couch and say, okay, I'm manifesting abundance, I'm thinking abundance, and in the meantime, you're living off your credit card, because I've done this, you're living off your credit card and thinking, all right, I'm thinking abundant thoughts, I believe I'm abundant, and yet your debt keeps on going up. And I don't know if anyone else has done that, but I've done that, and it's frustrating. So I believe it actually takes, affirmations are great, but really changing how your actions and what you're doing and how you're managing your money and dealing with the practical stuff as well. And also changing your energy, you know, getting out of that victim consciousness is really important, because if you're feeling like a victim, even if you're feeling like a victim to your affirmation, you now are not in the space to attract abundance, right?
Interesting. Right. Who would have thought of that? A victim to the affirmations.
I know. Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're thinking, oh, I've been thinking abundant thoughts for a year and nothing's happening, and now you're frustrated and feeling like a victim to your affirmation program, now you're not running the right energy to attract what you need, or even, you know, I've just seen this happen so many times, and I've done it. And now you're angry at God and you're just saying, come on, God, where's the money? And that just makes it worse. So that's my take on affirmation.
Now, the victim consciousness, did you find any of that continue to seep through even when you said I'm done in the back of the police car? Or how can people shift out of victim consciousness?
Yeah, it seeps through, and it still does occasionally. And it's not the easiest thing, because on some level, when something bad that we judge as bad happens, I think the tendency is to feel like a victim. So in my case, with that sexual assault, or even when, like, let's say your car breaks down and it costs you $500 and now you have a new bill, or when something like that happens, of course, I think the instant thought is, oh, man, not again. You know, why universe? Why me? You know, why did God let this happen? Or, you know, why can't I ever have good luck? Or, you know, these kind of victim-y thoughts just show up. And I think it takes a level of consciousness to catch yourself in that mode. And so what I have to do is sometimes when I start thinking like a victim, I instantly reframe. So for example, let's say, you know, my car breaks down, you know, my first thought is like, you know, damn it, now I have to deal with this, you know, so I start feeling like a victim of something I didn't want. And then my instant reframe is, okay, why did I create this? So it's an instant reframe of, instead of why did this happen to me, why did I create this? And if you keep on doing that, and then you start to ask, well, you know, what was the purpose? Why did I create this? That's a really interesting question to me, because you can dig deeper into it and understand, oh, well, it's really great that my car broke down and I created this, because if it didn't break down now, I would have had a bigger problem later on, or I would have been stranded. Just understanding the significance of what you're creating and asking, putting the question out there, what's behind my creation?
Well, I'll tell you what, with that question, Jennifer, why did I create this? That's really handing yourself full and complete responsibility there. There's no getting around that with that question. Right?
I know, yeah. I mean, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, you can't wiggle your way out of that one. That's like, you know, that's it right there. That's the question. Why did I create this? I bet that's a really hard question for many people to stomach when they're going through a difficult time.
It's super hard to stomach. And sometimes you may need to process the emotions first and then ask that question. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it may be so horrendous, whatever it is you're going through, that it may not be the right time to ask that question. It may be like, I need to grieve. And sometimes I'll even, you know, if I'm going through something really difficult, I let myself fully feel like the grief or the anger or whatever the emotion is. And then when I get more neutral, then I ask that question. So giving yourself some time before you ask that question can sometimes help, but eventually I get to that question because that's the heart of the matter to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a beautiful point that you bring up, because we do have to process and let go of those emotions that may be there. I like how you said that. I feel that's really important, that we don't pretend like those emotions aren't there, right? This isn't about pretending.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing and being able to let it go and move through those emotions, not suppress it and pretend and all of that stuff. Because then we just, you know, create another situation for us to have to work through. So that's beautiful. Now, when you talk about, you first of all, I got to make sure that everybody knows, when is your book coming out?
It's coming out May 8th. I'm super excited. It's almost here. Yay.
Oh, boy, you're going to keep us on the edge of our seat until then, huh?
Uh-huh. I took a long time writing it.
Everybody's all excited with all this information. They want, and that we got to wait till May. Oh, man. Okay, so where can people find the book, and where can people connect with you? I want to make sure they have that information.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I'm actually giving out the first 3 chapters of the book for free right now on my website. So if you go there and sign up for my mailing list, which I promise I do not bombard anyone with emails when you sign up, you'll get one email with the first 3 chapters of the book, and that's pretty much it, unless something really cool happens. So it's not like you're going to get an email every day. So it's spiritualandbroke.com. And, you'll get to see if you resonate, you know, with my writing. So I hope you get a chance to go there and visit.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, so that's an easy website to remember, spiritualandbroke.com, for those people that are needing some support. Okay, great. So, you know, one of the other things you talked about is how to transform your finances without feeling deprived or denying yourself the little luxuries in life, because that is one thing that we'll do, right? We'll mm-hmm. you know, put ourselves on the back burner, and we keep going on and on and on like that, and that doesn't make us feel any better. So mm-hmm. it's nice to be able to do things that, you know, show that, you know, are in support of loving ourselves in the process. So talk to us a little bit about that. How can we do all of this while still not feeling deprived?
That's a good question. That's a whole section in my book. You know, the worst thing, I think, to get your finances under control is to do a budget. I hate budgets. And the word frugality just doesn't work for me. I mean, that feels constricted already in the antithesis of abundance. Like, I'm being frugal. I'm going to end up in a house full of cobwebs and rats all by myself. I just, that's what I say when I think of frugality. I think of a really negative image. So that kind of stuff didn't work for me. You know, I tried cutting up my credit cards, and 5 minutes later I was fishing it out of the trash and taping it back together. It's a lost cause on me. So I don't think getting your finances in alignment is about denial, because again, that energy of denying yourself is the antithesis of abundance. But what I do feel, and this was a mistake I was making, is when I was spending money, I had a lot of spending habits that had no meaning to me. So let me give you an example. I'm in the checkout line at Whole Foods, and there's People magazine, and I just get it just out of habit, and I don't even enjoy reading it. You know, I think, oh, this is lame, or, you know, whatever. I don't even enjoy it that much. It has no meaning to me. But I just bought something that I don't particularly like that much or love or use. And I had a lot of things I was doing that with. I had, like, clothes I never wore. I collected throw pillows. Like, some people collect rare spoons. I had just all this stuff, and, you know, that I never really got much joy out of. And there's that whole book out there, you know, about, you know, using what brings you joy and how to declutter your life. Well, I feel like decluttering your spending, right, is when you go to spend money, you know, taking a pause and saying, do I really love what I'm spending money on right now? And that includes everything. That includes, like, are you loving the food you're buying? Are you loving the place you live? You know, everything you're putting money into, do you love it? And when I started really asking myself that question, it was amazing how much money I was spending on things that either I didn't use or didn't love. It was just mind-boggling how much stuff I had that I had no relationship or connection or love of. And I describe more in my book, I kind of spiraled down into this whole area of self-growth, of this idea that on some level, when I spent money on stuff, I was trying to buy love rather than buying what I love. So that was a huge wake-up call just to look at my spending that way.
These are really major, you know, lessons, quote-unquote lessons that you learned, that you're sharing with us. It's still, you know, sometimes we share things, or we share experiences with other people, but these things that we're sharing sometimes can equal years of hardship or challenge to get to that understanding that we share in 10 seconds. You know, that's
right.
So I can tell just from what it is, you know, you're sharing with us that you had to go through a lot of experiences to get to these, you know, principles that you're sharing now with us. So thank you for that. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I go into a little more detail in my book. I was just realizing we're probably running out of time, but yeah, just, you know, there's the worthiness and how we spend money, and it's all related. It ironically all comes back to love, like really connecting with what we really love on a very deep level. And yeah, it's just amazing where you end up when you start looking at your spending.
Yeah, it is. And people don't, because what you're talking about is energetics. It's vibrational. and people aren't paying attention to their lives in that way most of the time. And so it's, you know, you're pointing us in a different direction to look at, understand things in a different way. So this is beautiful. Thank you so much. Yeah, we are coming towards the end of our time here. And you are also the author of another book too, called Love Incorporated, The Business of Doing What You Love. And so, you know, for our listeners who want to learn more about some of the books that you've written and your upcoming book, they can connect with you at Jennifer, is it Noel? JenniferNoelTaylor.com. What a pretty name. Okay. So, JenniferNoelTaylor.com. It is on our website and our social media posts. So just take a look at that, and this would be a good way to keep in touch with you for those that are interested. And I just want to say thank you so much for spending your time, and I'm sure that quantum touch healing can help support people on their path too, and what it is we are talking about, right?
Yeah, that deals with the energetics of health, so the energetics of pain and things like that. So that's a whole nother really fascinating thing to study, is how we generate health stuff.
There we go. Because health is abundance too. So, All right. Thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you to our Inspire listeners. This is a great show, as expected. A lot of good information. And until next week, always remember to come from a place of love. Bye-bye.
Thank you.